Welcome to the G-Rated Podcast. This is Mary Emerson. Thanks to Lori McLeod and Pam Washam for their permission to use the background music, which includes nature sounds, by the way, and which they composed, performed, and recorded. This is called Ice Melting. Hi everybody on the podcast, this is Mary, and as you can tell the mic sounds a bit different. I don't sound as if I'm blowing directly into it because I have it adjusted a bit lower in a different position. And right now I'm moving it a little bit. And I am definitely in dictation mode. Last time when I did a podcast I was in conference mode and didn't realize it and wondered why it was picking up all the echoes and things that it was picking up. But I have a new set of batteries in here, and this is a WS-320 with the same Sony mic that I used last time. But as I said, I'm in a different mode right now, so it makes all the difference in the world. As I said, I have it positioned in a different place so that I will not sound, hopefully I'll not sound like I'm blowing right into it every time I breathe. I wanted to make a correction on my last podcast regarding omega-3s and omega-6s. This is sort of a confirmation. I usually get this straight, but I guess I didn't when I was doing a podcast. Maybe it was a senior moment or something. I don't know. But anyway, omega-3s are the ones that are found in fish and fish oils. Omega-6s are the ones that are found in vegetables, mostly green vegetables and flaxseed and probably a few other sources I don't remember right now. But I want to make sure that I got that correct because I was a little bit confused in my health information podcast, and I don't know why I was confused because I usually remember this. But anyway, that's the correction I wanted to make. I also wanted to mention that I corrected the health podcast, and although I did not publish it, I uploaded it to the list that's on the RSS list. So if anybody wants to get a hold of it, you can probably just, you know, use your podcatcher and download it again, because I erased the original file that was up there and replaced it. I hope that that will work. So that if you want a more accurate podcast regarding health stuff, then you can get it. I also made a couple very minor editorial corrections. So for what it's worth, it's up there. I'm not going to publish it because I figure most people have already heard it once. They don't need to hear it again. This is podcast number 21. And we're going to talk about the dreaded subject of income taxes. And you're all going, oh no, not that. But it is possible for blind people to do their taxes. Now, for those of you not living in the USA who don't want to know about this, you can just reject this podcast right now. For those of you who would like an intellectual exercise, even though you're never going to do your taxes this way since you don't live in the USA, then you can keep listening. For those of you who don't do taxes at all and don't want to know, then you can exit and delete the podcast. The rest of you who are up to the challenge, then I'll give you a bit of background on how I do things, and I will proceed to tell you some of the ins and outs of this. I started doing my own taxes in 1992 when I had gotten a PC in 91 so that I could work from home. And I started out in DOS using AM Tax, and I loved it because I could fill in the forms directly. And I did not have a printer at the time, so I had to buy a printer in order to be able to do my taxes. And the program that I was using, the version of DOS at the time that I was using, required that I have a spooler. I didn't realize that that was necessary
But it was, and so it was a learning experience for me. So I used AM tax up until 2002 when I was knowledgeable enough about Windows to start using something else. And since I got Windows, I've been using Tax Act, and I fill everything out directly on their website, which works wonderfully. It's all there, and you don't have to worry about buying the software, downloading it, and discovering it may or may not be accessible. I did that with TurboTax in 2002 and discovered that it was not accessible. I could read it with the Opticon, but I could not read it directly with JAWS. And I said, I don't need to go through this. So I ended up just getting to the website for Tax Act and using that. Now, the secret of doing taxes correctly and easily is to keep copious records of things. I keep every year's tax returns in their own envelope, usually an old magazine envelope. And I have various things in there, such as my credit union summary statement that you get at the end of the year, and the W-2 forms. The W-2s, for those who don't know, are forms that are about the size of the old computerized punch card. They used to look like punch cards, and they're not, actually. They are pieces of paper that are connected. And one is for the federal, one is for the state, one is for local taxes. And you have to send part of it in if you're going to send the form in, the completed return. I do all of my stuff by e-filing, which means I do it all electronically. And the point of doing that is that you don't have to worry about, well, you know, I've got to get this filled in and signed. I remember all the times when I had to sign the tax forms, line everything up correctly with the Opticon so that I could get my signature in the right box on the form and then send it in. But with e-filing, you don't have to do that. Now, in addition to these items that I mentioned that I keep in print, I have Braille information. First of all, I have a list of what's in the envelope itself. Every time I get a W-2 form in the mail, I tend to write it all out in Braille so that I know what all the amounts are, what all the numerical amounts. Just for your information, what is put into a W-2 form? W-2 form contains the information that your employer used to report data to the IRS, which is the Internal Revenue Service. And this information includes the following. The wages, which is how much you made. The federal tax amount that was withheld to pay the amount that you're supposed to pay to the IRS. Social Security information such as tax withheld and wages, Medicare wages and tips, if any, and tax withheld. Then there's stuff like control numbers and departments and corporation information, and then the employer's address is on there, and their federal ID number, Social Security number. That's you're the employee, so it gives your Social Security number. And then there are some things that I did not write, like numbers 7 to 11 on the W-2 are blank. I didn't even fill those in or keep a record of them. And then there are boxes that indicate your retirement benefits and your tax-deferred savings, if you have any. Your retirement plan information, stuff like that. Then the employee's name and address, which is your name and address, and Then there's information for the state, such as the state ID number for your employer and your state wages, which are generally the same as your federal wages that are reported. And then the state income tax withheld, and things like that. So that is basically what is in there on your W-2. It's a challenge to read with the Opticon because everything is very compartmentalized. It's all in little boxes, and you've got to be a perfectly good Opticon reader. A scanner would not be able to handle it, I don't think, because some of these boxes extend down more than one line and across more than one cell in a table going across a line. So it's a bit challenging to read it. Now, I have a whole bunch of notes in here describing the procedure for going through Tax Act and filling things in because some of this stuff was sort of unclear to me when I did it last year and they changed some things, so I need to read through all of this stuff. I also have a page on printing and downloading and shortcuts that I use to do it. And then at the very end, after you fill the taxes out, there's a summary. There is a summary that you get from Tax Act, which includes both the federal and the state information, and the summary includes the income that you reported rounded to the nearest dollar. Any adjustments, adjusted gross, which is your total income, adjusted with all of your stuff taken out of it, if any. The amount for deductions and exemptions. And then after that's figured out, then the actual taxable income. And then the amount of tax from the tax tables, which are built into the current year's Tax Act. And then the credits and other taxes and payments that you actually have to make or have made. And then if there's an underpayment penalty of any type, and then if you paid too much over the year, if your employer took too much out, then you get something back. Now, for the state, last year I had to pay them, and you have basically the same information in there. The federal adjusted gross has to be reported to the state. And then you have subtractions and additions and adjusted gross based on the subtractions and additions and the standard or itemized deductions that you had. And then the taxable income is figured out from that. I suppose each state has a different way of doing it. And then the total tax less the credits, and from that they figure out the total payments that were made during the year that your employer took out of your paycheck, and then according to the tax tables, is there anything that you owe them? And in my case last year there was. Fortunately, it wasn't too much. So that is the deal with taxes. Now, a lot of this stuff I learned just by doing it and reading all the stuff I could read on how to, and I guess just basically being in the business world long enough to pay attention to this sort of stuff. I don't know really from looking at all of this if there's really any sort of need to go into the actual process. What you do is you go up to the website. Now, this is going to vary according to whatever tax software you use. And if you use a tax preparer, then you don't have to do any of this at all. But I guess I'm the stubborn, independent type. I just kind of get in there and do it. You log on to the particular website. One place you could start is irs.gov, because they've got tax software recommendations on there that you could use. Now, once you get into the website, at least for Tax Act, they've got a choice of, I believe you can either fill in the forms directly or you can do the 20 questions variety. And the 20 questions variety of doing taxes means that you sit there and answer questions such as, did you have in income last year. If you did not, let's go on to the next thing. Anyway, you answer all these questions, and you go in, and you do various, you know, filling in the numbers and making sure everything is correct. And a lot of these are, you know, forms that you go in and out of forms mode to deal with. You check radio boxes, radio buttons, and check boxes, and all manner of stuff like that. And you just go from web page to web page. And at the very end, you have a choice of how you're going to file your form. You either do it electronically or you do it by printing the form out and sending it in. Now, if you file a form, if you need to have any sort of money paid to the IRS or the state tax board, whoever they are who handles it in your state, it can be done directly through your bank. And in order to do this, you've got to have information on your bank account. For each bank account that you have, or actually for each bank, you have two sets of numbers. One of them is the routing number, which is a 9-digit number. The other number is a depositor's account number, which is usually a 10-digit number. And this is true for each bank where you have an account. The accounts within the bank, at least on the tax form, you can decide whether you want the transaction to happen from your checking or your savings. And this works in such a way that if you owe them, they will take money out, and you can tell them what day and what month you want them to do it, just so long as it's before the deadline. Or you can, if they owe you, then they can deposit the proper amount. So that way you don't have to worry about them sending you a check, and you have to take the check to the bank. So I've heard that in some cases you can actually pay with a credit card, which is kind of interesting. So that's how that works. It's quite a deal to sit there and do your taxes. I usually do it on a weekend. And it takes me a good 4 or 5 hours, even though I've got everything written down beforehand. I've got all the numerical amounts in there. I've got all the, you know, procedures written down. Actually, I'm in really good shape this year because I wrote all the procedures last year as I did them. So I knew that this year I'd be able to just do it. There's always a couple of questions I get stuck on. I can't remember what I did last time, so I have to go back and look at last year's form. And by the way, you do need last year's form because there's information you have to access. But if you have everything stored from last year, then you can access all of that information. And you can go ahead and have it filled in on your tax form so you don't have to go digging out all the old stuff. They do recommend that you keep your old tax information around for, I've heard, no longer than 7 years, but I think I've got mine going all the way back to around 1991.
Well, I realize there are a couple of things I didn't mention. Actually, more than a couple. One was the subject of dependents. That's a real big one, and I remember when I was filling out the forms directly, there were pages where you had to list various information about dependents and whether they were earning any sort of income that needed to be reported and all that kind of stuff, and their ages and things like that. Now, that was one of the real big things that could have gone on for quite a while, quite a number of pages depending on the number of dependents that you had. And another thing was a question of whether you bought and sold property, like a house or any other sort of property. And that was another one of the real big ones. And then there's questions about alimony and stocks and bonds and investments and things like that. And they just really want to know all kinds of stuff. So it's just, it just goes on. Especially if you're filling out the longer form. And then there are various adjustments that you can have, such as if you're 65 or older or blind. But there are all sorts of little things like that. At the very end, after you're all done filling the stuff in, they have different funds that you can contribute a dollar to, or any amount that you choose. And these are such things as the Firefighters Fund. I guess it varies according to the state that you live in. Firefighters and breast cancer, and I suppose this year they'll probably have a fund for hurricane victims and all the, you know, Louisiana stuff that happened. And I don't know what else, but it usually is a lot of stuff that I didn't know there was a fund for. So this is also something that varies from one state to another. And if you're fortunate to live in a state where they don't have income taxes, then you don't have to look at all this, although I suppose that some of it's on the federal forms also, where they've got the presidential election fund and other such items. But I don't think there's quite as much on the federal as there is on the state. Maybe it depends on the form you're filling in. I don't know. So that is what you do with income taxes, and I'm sure that it's probably more than anybody would ever want to know. If I have made any errors on this, I would appreciate knowing about them. A lot of this stuff, as I said, is stuff that I learned just by doing it. I've been very fortunate that everything I've done has been quite accurate, because if you type one comma in the wrong place or leave a zero out or something, you can get yourself in all kinds of trouble. So it helps to check and double check, and you need to have a certain amount of persistence to do this stuff right. So that is how I do my taxes. They do charge for using a service. You can file for free at least one return. I don't remember now if they charge for the state return in addition to the federal. I think they did, but it wasn't much. It was far less than what you would need to pay for tax software, I can tell you that much. When I was using AM Tax, I had to get the preparer's version because I used a laser printer, and the regular personal version did not print on a laser printer, and I needed to be able to use a laser printer so that I could have a form that looked good enough to send in to the IRS and the state tax board. So, and that's just how that worked. But with this method, doing e-filing and everything, it's just wonderful. And you can still print copies of your return and everything in the end to keep for your own records. If you can't get the printer to work with it, which I couldn't for a couple of years, you can at least keep the tax summary in Braille or in an accessible format. And that way you've got it for next year. And that's all that you really need, actually, because it gives the income that you had, because you need to refer to that next year. Okay, I think I've talked enough about this, but I did want to get some information out and tell you that this kind of thing is doable if you are brave and persistent enough and think you can be accurate enough to report your taxes without getting yourself into some kind of crazy situation. Also, if you don't have a very complicated setup. I hope this has been helpful to somebody, and at least, if anything, it'll give you an idea of what's involved. And any feedback would certainly be welcome. I'm definitely no expert. I'm just an average individual doing this. I hope this has been of interest, and you can contact me via email or the BCT list if you wish to. And hope this has been helpful, and bye for this time.
This has been another edition of the G-Rated Podcast. If you wish to contact me, you can email Mary Emerson, MaryEmerson at sbcglobal.net. Thanks for listening.